Welcome back. We are going to dive in today to mindset.
Love it.
Why do you love it?
Because it's interesting. The brain is interesting to me.
Okay.
Because it's not something we've conquered.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
We are just 1,000% beyond, or the knowledge of and understanding at a cellular level what's going on in the rest of our body, but we don't know what consciousness is in the brain.
Yeah, I think we're pretty able to say physically, you should do this, right? You should walk more, you should lift, you should stretch, you should do these things. Like, mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to be prescribed what you would do, mm-hmm. right, to improve your physical fitness. And yep. It's pretty easy to prescribe what you would do nutritionally, mm-hmm. right? But from a mental standpoint or mindset kind of thing, it's kind of like, oh yeah, you know, we're still, even just talking about mental health, which now we're talking about it as a country, I would say, or mm-hmm. what, right, as a society. But again, it's just like, well, I mean, if you need help, talk to somebody, right? It's still,
we don't know.
And it's just, it's something, it kind of is like the Wild West in some ways, mm-hmm. but I just feel like it is the basis for kind of how you feel about everything, right?
Absolutely. Yes. We just don't understand that. We understand, we can say, Allah, we understand that our brain controls and we want to control how we feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand how that happens in our brain. It's synapses, it's neurons that come together, and we have a synaptic and an electrical signal comes down this neuron, and that's conscious thought, or that's our ability to deal with something mentally. There's a lot yet to learn.
Yeah, yeah. So I am.
But we know it's powerful.
Right. Let's just talk about working from that, okay. Right? Because
yeah.
I'm not a person. I don't need to know the ins and outs of why something works the way it does. I just need, once I know that something works for me, I want to expand on that, you know?
Yes.
And use it to the best of my ability, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what how I feel about mindset.
Yep. So. Do you think you understood the power of mindset in the beginning?
No.
I don't think I did either.
I would say no. And honestly, I think that is like cancer, because I was so, for lack of a better term, like up against the wall,
mm-hmm.
and at a point where it was like, I'll try anything. I'll do anything. That's when I was like, okay, what am I thinking about? How does, you know, that's when I feel like I was kind of looking at everything that I was doing and saying, how can that impact me positively or negatively?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I think you got some good advice early on from,
yeah,
I don't even remember what it was. But
well, the first thing I think I got was the cassette tape in the mail,
yeah.
that was like, listen to this every day. And, you know, and I thought, oh, so what I listen to matters. And also at that point, too, I was still just, every thought coming in was just terrible. I'm going to die. I'm not going to see Sydney grow up. This is, you know, this is not good. How can this be happening? And it felt like that, right? It felt that fast and just like a, just like the waves crashing all of the time, right?
Yeah.
And so to then put in, or put, you know, put this cassette tape on and have it just be this calming voice and kind of just taking you through your body, it was almost like, okay, wait, okay, this is like helping me get back in my body, putting me back together.
So it wasn't the somebody telling you, listen, meditate, or your thoughts matter, or the power of your brain. It wasn't that. It was you tried something, and you realized, wow, that is helping me with my thoughts.
Yeah,
it was the experience.
I think it was the experience of that. It was also like my faith at the time, you know, thinking about prayer. And just realizing, like, I know that, and I think I did realize really early on with some of those conversations that I had with the doctors that, like, I couldn't unhear things. And so it was like anything that comes in that is hard for me, I'm going to have to really process. So how do I do, you know, what can I do to keep it maybe more positive than negative? I know I'm still going to have to deal with this overwhelming fear and, you know, anxiety about what the unknown and what could happen. Mm-hmm. But how can I bring in some good thoughts as well?
And at no time is this power of your brain reversed some negative thing that's happened. It hasn't made it go away. We're not about that. No. We're talking about, you know, maybe shining a different light on something or adding a good light
perspective. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is just like we have the ability. So when something happens to us, that's that thing. We can't maybe change that.
Yeah.
But we can change how we react to it and mm-hmm. how much we let it affect us. And this doesn't mean that we're always good at it. And, but it is learning, like, wait a second. Is getting really upset about this helping? Or is, it's kind of to me like a domino effect of things. So say something happens that, you know, feels terrible to me. If I keep reliving it, that's me choosing to make it, you know.
To give it power.
Or likewise, I've learned that, like, dealing with difficult people over the years, right? Mm. That I'm giving them even more power when I'm spending my time away from them thinking about how much they hurt me or how mad I am at them or what my response is going to be. And so I learned even early on with that it was really hard to control my thoughts, but I could, like, write stuff down. And that sometimes would let things go, or it would reinforce kind of the things that I wanted to come in. So I would rewrite things, you know, like, I am healthy, or I am this, or verses that help me, or whatever. I would write those because I knew then it was going in. But I would also, like, write to let go of things, you know.
Okay. So you were given, obviously, you know, some pretty bad news of, you know, get your affairs in order.
Right.
Do you think any positive came from that?
Because
you're still talking about it 25 years later.
I think the only positive, I mean, I don't know if it's positive.
Obviously, I'm not saying what he said is positive. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying there can be positives that come from negative things in your life. This is one example.
It gave me a lot of motivation.
That's what I was asking. There's a lot of athlete in you.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are driven sometimes by something that somebody says or an opinion someone has. Yeah. And we're like, F you. Yeah. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
Was there some of that in that?
I think for sure. And I will say, I think that's one thing that I learned as an athlete throughout, you know, mm-hmm. my life. Was, you know, I was never the tallest kid. I was never the this, but I could work hard and I could prove people wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it was, you know, it gave me some level of success mm-hmm. for that. And so, I think that was, and it was also something I was comfortable with owning that, yes, I'm a determined person mm-hmm. and watch me.
Yeah. And I've never asked you that before.
Yeah.
And obviously, for example, when we knew it was cancer and then got the news that it had metastasized, that statement that the cancer had metastasized, I don't think you can turn that into a positive and, oh, I've used that as fuel, but now it's all over my body. No, obviously not that. No. I'm talking about more statements because, boy, you know we all hang on to statements that people make.
Right.
Good or, you know, mostly bad.
Yeah.
But good or bad, we hold on to those and use them, for lack of better words, as fuel.
Yeah.
But it can be negative fuel or positive fuel. I think that's where you took it and over time have made that a positive.
Yeah.
Not the statement. You know what
I
mean?
No,
right?
I get it.
I don't want people to misrepresent this.
Yeah, and I don't think, it, for me also, like, I don't know how to say this. Like, turning, the motivation kind of piece, I still wanted to make things positive. I wasn't living in, like, this Pollyanna world. Yeah. I was dealing with, I was scared. I was terrified. I was terrified for years. It wasn't right away. You know, it didn't go away. But I didn't, I learned that I, every time I thought about how scared I was, I could then go, wait a second, think about what's working or think about what's helping. And literally, like, talk myself back through it. Mm-hmm. It was like I became good at kind of being my own therapist in my head.
So you weren't living in a Pollyannish world.
Oh, gosh, no.
But you did make your own world.
I did make it. I did. And we've
talked. How would you describe that, then? What is there a word you can put to that? Or a statement?
I feel like it was literally protection. It was literally protecting myself. And it's something that goes hand in hand with this, with being able to control the thoughts coming in. Because what I learned so quickly, right, first in the doctor's statements, but then as we were talking to different people, that people would say things so quickly that it was almost like I was like a trying to deflect them, like physically deflect them. And then I got really good at realizing, oh, it's coming.
Yeah,
and I
couldn't get away. They're about ready to say it.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes I could stop it, but oftentimes I couldn't. And then it was like, I can't do this right now. So that's when we literally did kind of build this bubble where we're like, forget it. I cannot mentally do this. I can't take on somebody else's thoughts right now. I have enough to deal with my own. I'm processing the thousands that I'm having already. So it did become, but I didn't view that as like isolating. It felt protective to me. It felt good to me.
It was almost, you are what you eat.
Yes.
Well, you are what you hear in that instance, in that situation, when you're being told news or a test results or those, you are what they say at that moment.
Yes. And that's why I feel so passionately about how healthcare providers, you know, interact with patients. But I also feel that way about family members. Like, I'm very fortunate. Our family's pretty stoic. They didn't say a lot of things that were like harmful to me, nor put a burden on me. But I know a lot of families do that.
Sure.
You know? And
especially when the role of the person who got cancer
is a caregiver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So I just can't emphasize enough how you as the person with cancer, you're worth it. It is okay to advocate for yourself. Yep. It is okay to stop people from saying things. It is okay to stop the thoughts that are coming in.
Because you are what you hear.
Yeah.
And yes, you can undo some of those things. And with meditation, with therapy, with just when we're talking about this changing a negative into a positive or adding a different light.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you did many, 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 many times. I mean, too many times to count, to be honest with you, because you did it 1,000 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exaggerating here. Your day, your regimen was that.
It was this. Yeah. And if you're not watching, it's me like turning the thoughts over in my head and rethinking them and thinking them again in a way that felt okay, that wasn't terrifying, that wasn't life-ending. It wasn't those things.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody who was maybe, you know, is in the fire right now, or a loved one listening to this that can, you know, is going to talk to them. What, how do you do that? Like how they're going to listen and hey, I heard this today and
I know.
This chick just turned things around. I don't know.
It is about turning things around, but it's almost like you have to get quiet enough to know what's happening. You have to listen to what's really happening up there.
Okay.
They say we have like 65,000 thoughts a day, right? But I know that like when the TV's not on or when I'm going for a walk or in the shower or whatever, or with a journal, I can hear what I'm thinking. And it may be more consciously than other times. And that's a really good opportunity to take a look at what that is. And maybe it's writing it down, but it's literally when those thoughts are so scary to me. I don't even want to, I mean, negative sometimes, but scary, you know, am I going to die? Like, I feel like that was a question in my head all of the time. Question right?
anybody
who am I going to die? Yeah. Am I going to die? And I just finally had to go, wait a second. Nobody knows if you're going to die. Like, and, you know, maybe I won't. And then I thought, I'm doing what I can today. And just kind of whatever it felt like I could add in to go, you know, just to say, like, one, I don't have to ask myself that today. Or two, not right now.
Thank good for Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Well, and that there, well, that was a hugely pivotal moment also early on. And we've talked about this conversation before and we'll keep talking about it. But I had called my brother, Troy. I was very scared. And it was, I feel like it was during the day. And he did answer the phone. And I said that, kind of like, Troy, am I going to die?
Is it possible?
Yeah. Like, am I really, you know, like, this is what they're saying. Like, I understand where I fall in these, mm-hmm. you know, statistics. And he said, Heather, what no one can tell you is what side of those statistics you'll fall on. So even if it's 99% chance that you're going to die, there is 1% chance that you won't.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody determines that. Nobody, you know, they can't guarantee that. And I thought, literally, it kind of brought this whole week or two prior to where I was like, oh, I have cancer, to, oh, maybe it's just stage one, maybe it's stage two, maybe it's stage three, where I was like, oh, then I'll have a, you know, whatever percentage, high percentage of all this stuff, to then being in this place where I didn't have a very good percentage, to just going, I guess that'll be me.
Mm-hmm.
And
you literally made that decision, which I don't know how you did it, looking back. And being of the age that you were. And that's the part that no matter even, there's no way you understand how you literally made, there was a switch that happened in your brain. And I know it has to do with conversations you have with people mm-hmm. and that outlook and all of that. But somebody else could be in the same exact shoes and hear the same exact things and maybe not able to do that. That's just the truth, I believe.
No, I get that because you know what? As a society, we don't want to bet on people because you know what?
We don't want to lose.
We don't want to bet on ourselves and we don't want to lose.
Yes.
So like, that's the thing. I got really good at people. One of the only places we went was to church and people would come up and they'd be like, God's will be done. And I was like, that's like saying, I know you're going to die. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it felt to me. Yeah. And I was so irritated by that. But then I was just like, I don't care if you bet on me. I don't care. Like, I'm going to bet on me. Like, I'm just, and the thing was, and honestly, at the beginning, I was like, if nothing else, I'll go on swinging. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then it got a little stronger and just to like, yeah. But a conversation about just like, again, like, people do extraordinary things. Like, ordinary people do extraordinary things. And that's kind of where I worked from. Like, I have all these issues. I'm a middle child. I feel like my brothers are, like, these brilliant people. I've never been as smart as... Like, all of these things. But I'm just like, you know what? I can try hard. I can do something. I can persevere. Like, I'm, you know, I can be determined. And I can just see where it gets me.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people do not like, especially metastatic cancer patients, do not like when people say they lost their fight
with cancer. Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
You were fighting.
Oh, I was fighting.
You were fighting. I mean, it's truly...
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everybody does or that.
No. I think the problem with that is, like, I think a lot of people fight to get healthy. Like, and it's just, like, at the end, like, people don't lose their battle with heart disease. They also fought. So like, let's leave that terminology where it is. But it's okay to fight for yourself. And it is okay to say, I'm going all in on myself. And that is one thing that I've been thinking a lot about too. Like, I feel like sometimes we wait for people to be really, really sick Even, and I know that sounds really crazy because metastatic breast cancer is a pretty, like, pretty serious diagnosis, but I wasn't particularly sick. But we wait for people to be really, really sick before we bring in, like, before we rally around them. And we need to help them when they can still help themselves. Like, we need to help provide those supports that we can. And, but the other thing is, when you get this diagnosis, you need to ask. And you need to do what feels right to you. Like, you need to ask for what you need to provide to this support for yourself, right? Like, and I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if it means going to work every day. I don't know if it means somebody taking your kids for a couple hours, you know, in the evening. I don't know if it's meal prep. I don't know what it is. But, like, it's okay to fight for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, no, I need 3 hours a day right now to get my head around this.
And it's, you know, it's just because it's still fresh in my brain and it's, and it has, it's to be in the game. It truly is.
Yeah.
The correlation from that book to this, to you and what you did during this period of time and the changes you made. Everything you've said right now or thus far on this podcast is I switched to the game. I switched to the game because they put me in the gap. You got put into a gap by news you got or by statement or the God's will be done or those kind of things put you in the gap. And you went, nope, I'm going to choose to be in the game. And it. And the also, simplest way I can describe this is that's what you did.
And I'm also going to stop being around people that are putting me in the gap.
That's what I'm saying is there's so many correlations to this book. And I know it's because I just read.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
It put a lot of things into, oh, that's an easy way to describe what you did. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering, how do I do that? Read the book. Yeah. Read that book as far as examples of, they give so many examples in there of, and this person and this person, they were down and they had this and this is what they did. That's what we're talking about.
And some of it, I think, is about consistency, which is another word that I oftentimes is hard for me because I'm not the most consistent person, mm-hmm. you know. But it is like, you know, make the plan the work kind of thing. Like, you're, you know, mm-hmm. work the plan the work kind of thing where you just go, yeah, I'm going to do this. You're not going to get good at even mindset in one time. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to need people. There was many times I fell apart and I would be crying to you and you would figure out, like, let's walk through this. Let's talk about this. You know, is it making some sort of a change, like a tweak in my schedule that just made me feel a little better, or what could we do?
Eating right made you feel better.
Right.
Exercising made you feel better. Right. The people around you made you feel better. And when I say feel better, oh, I feel good today. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about mentally.
No, it made me feel like I had done something to help myself be healthier.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Right. Like, it felt like, again, I'm not going to, there's no me saying this is the one thing, but my goal every day was like, how can I make my body work as efficiently as possible so that any medicine coming in, any chemo, all of that, could just be as effective as possible? Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of like, this is my job, that's its job, and we're all going to work together on this. That's how it felt to me.
A great example, talk to them about, you know, your outlook, for example, on chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
That mindset.
Well, again, with chemo, I didn't want to know side effects because I knew, some of the things that were so helpful in the beginning was I really did know what I was capable of and what I wasn't capable of. So I knew after being given all of this terrible news that I couldn't handle anymore. And I also knew that I would be thinking about things negatively that were, you know, potentially negative. So side effects would have been one of those things. I didn't want things to manifest because I knew about them, right? Mm-hmm. So I just felt like from a chemo standpoint, I just was going to view it as the best drug to kill cancer cells, right? We talked about killing cancer because that's how Dr. Miriver said it to me. We'll start killing cancer on Monday. that's exactly what I wanted to do, was kill cancer, mm-hmm. right? And then from there, I didn't view it as poison entering my body or anything like that, something trying to attack me. Even like being bald, which wasn't the easiest thing in the world, it just was like, that's part of, that means the chemo is effective, right?
Every side effect you have, you turned it into a, here we go.
It's working.
We're killing cancer. That's right. And just that outlook, and it sounds so, you know, juvenile or whatever, but you want to make a difference.
Yeah.
When we're talking about what works for Heather, all of these things, it was
that stuff. I was very intentional about little things, like about how I viewed things, but also like people would say, if this happens, I'd be like, you mean when this happens? Like that stuff is very important to me. You I still do that. I still will stop people when they're talking about things or even like correct them. And just when I feel like people, maybe they say something that's like, I don't know, just that put somebody in a light that's not, no, that's not, we're not going to say that, you know, like you can say it better than that, you know? So, So I think it's so important for women, especially. Women we are lauded for how good we are at caretaking for other people. We are, you know, how pretty we are, how all of these things. That's not cancer. In cancer, you need to be your own advocate, and you need to know what works for yourself. And
if you can't be, you need to find somebody that can be. That role has to be.
Yeah.
And you're right. The best way is you. But if you can't, if there's some people who just, you need to find that person then.
I agree with that. But also, like, I just think you're worth it. And if nobody's ever told you that, then I'm sorry, but you are. And you're worth it for yourself, not because you need to be here for your kids. You're worth it because of who you are, not because of any role that you play. It's just, you know, I feel like sometimes I was thinking about this today. Like, I don't care if I'm viewed as being nice or being, I mean, kind. I think I'm a kind person, but it's not because I don't care what people think about me when I am standing up for myself or when I am advocating for something that I know is right.
Because you've already put the thought in and you've attacked it from all angles and you know it's right.
Right.
Therefore, doesn't matter what you say.
Right. And therefore, like, I'm not going to sacrifice my life because of it makes you more comfortable. You know, I'm not going to allow you to say something that hurts me because it makes somebody else more comfortable. Like, that's that kind of level of protection. We were able to build really early on, and it's just gotten stronger and stronger over time.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, it's okay to do what's right for you in all of this. And that goes also to like things like surgery, mastectomies, no mastectomies, flat. Do what works for you. Like, we are a society that we kind of are like, oh, it's okay. We can take your breast off because we can give you new and better ones. Like, you know what I mean? And then we'll put you back together and you'll be whole again. That's not how it works, but that's how we like to view it, you know? So, I don't know. I just think mindset, it also is the one thing that you can control. Like, you really can control it. It takes a ton of work. But I think
You didn't practice. Start doing it from the beginning, and we're great at it.
Oh, God.
You got better every day at it, and you practiced a lot at it.
Yep.
And then it became second nature.
Yeah.
It became a habit. You still do it today. It's a habit now. And wow, I mean, forget cancer. You want to just positively impact your life. Change to, I mean, that mindset for anyone.
Yeah. It surprises me even, like, sometimes I'll hear people or whatever be listening to something and they'll say, like, they'll call themselves stupid or whatever. Like, I don't negative self-talk myself. I mean, am I ever disappointed in myself? Sure. Or am I this? But I'm not going to beat myself up. Like, that's just not...
You don't allow it.
I don't allow it.
You don't.
You know, so...
Because you go there. Everybody sure. goes there.
Sure.
And then you don't allow it.
Yeah.
And you change it. And that took a lot of practice
yeah.
for you to do that.
Yeah. And I think for as much time as you can spend, like... I think we look outwardly so often, and it really is good to look inward. And I guess, especially early on, one of the things that, like, you don't need to be in your portal all the time. You don't need to be poring over test results. They're not going to change. You know what I mean? You don't need to be Googling endlessly. Like, you're going to find a lot of crap. Like, be reading and writing and listening to the stuff that helps you move forward, helps you build yourself up, that tells you that you're going to make it, that all of these kind of things, you know. Don't spend time in Facebook groups that are where other people are sick and dealing with other issues. You got to take care of yourself right now.
Yeah.
Let people like me spend time in those Facebook groups because I have the energy and the mental, I can do that now. I can be helpful. You don't need to be helpful right now. Like,
that's not your role.
It's not your role. No. And honestly, I feel like that's like the ultimate drain on all of your energy, like, to do that, right? Because nothing good is going to come out of it. So it's like this downward spiral, you know? So try something new. Get a journal. Go for a walk. You know? Find a meditation. Find a visualization. There's tons of free apps. I listen to them still. I, you know, do something different. So, yeah.
Just another reason you're still here. I mean, and we don't know what exactly it was, but this is huge. Huge, huge, and not easy. But everybody can do it.
Yeah, it's simple, but it's not easy.
It's not
right?
easy.
But it is simple. So, you know, try it.
Yeah.
Right? All right.
Till next time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I'm still here.
See ya.